It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
All right, Mark, set the scene.
Somebody in a Bears jersey would come down with the ball. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Grody. I'm sorry we interrupted
Grody,
you
at a party.
Who are you talking? Was that Kanellis that you walked past?
Well,
all right, go back to Kanellis and give him the phone.
Like you're walking around at a
rooftop
party somewhere.
Go back to Kanellis.
Like he's in a pool in Vegas.
And tell him that Dan and Lawrence want to talk to him.
I think he got away from me. And those were some Bears fans who were just scoreheads. Hey, what's up? East Coast bias happening.
Who did you just say what's up to?
So what am I supposed to do?
Sorry, the mayor of Lake Forest is busy.
I'm here every year.
Every year.
2000, everybody knows me here.
It's kissing babies shaking hands.
I have to say, it is hilarious the amount of Bears fans that see me and they just go, hey. Bears.
Brian Urlacher.
I love that you get to be in your element out there.
The sack man. The guy's name's the sack man.
You're right.
Bears. Bye, guys.
What the hell was that?
That was one of the best Bears reports ever done.
Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Rainy Monday and happy week of Bears football as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. All kinds of things for you today. We'll talk trade deadline that is approaching rapidly. We'll get the latest from Mark Grody, and he can tell us how Matt Eberflus is providing lemonade, as he promised. He joked about bringing the reporters lemonade, and he came through.
Now, that's a gift that you can accept.
Correct. Yeah, that I would accept ethically. There's some who wouldn't.
Which is fine.
There's some who wouldn't. You know, famously, Bill Gleason would never eat a press box meal. Would never. He'd always bring his own food, and he would bring one beer in a sock.
And a smoke.
I never saw the smoke. It certainly wouldn't surprise me, but there are some who find accepting press box food unethical. But yeah, that's what I probably would bend the rules on. We'll talk Cubs and Sox. Pursuant to the deadline, we'll do high noon, 11:45. Sahadev Sharma at noon, a little bit of basketball, then Dan Wiederer. Boy, I'm surprised he doesn't need a sabbatical after putting together that Caleb Williams Sunday magazine piece that he did of like a gazillion words. When he really gets into something, man, that is
Enterprise writer.
Yeah, that is
your Chicago Tribune,
USS Enterprise. That's big stuff. 312-644-6767. We have Diaz, Studzinski, Fryer, and O'Donnell doing all the things that they do. But I guess it was a little surprising that here the Cubs, they do exactly what Jed said they would be open to doing. They acquire an all-star third baseman who immediately becomes arguably their most productive offensive player for a guy who's been exciting but underperforming. And a couple of prospects.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, oh, the first wave of it, I'm going, all right, so now you got a third baseman. You could take Morel and make him your permanent DH. And then when you see that it's Morel that's in the deal and Hunter Biggie and whoever else they traded in that deal, you go, huh. And then you start going, wait a minute, did they just trade with the Rays? Because historically, that's not a... Yeah, that hasn't gone well for people. And you just wonder, do the Rays see something with Morel and they're like, we can fix him? Because the Rays historically have been a team that doesn't have enough money. So the actual winning in the margins, like you want to, the thing that Jed's trying to do but doesn't have to do, the Rays have done. So I'm always skeptical when a team makes a trade and it feels like they gave away more than they should have. Because now you just go, well, Morel hit 30 home runs next year because they'll do some tweak and go, oh, yeah, remember this thing. Just fix this.
Maybe. But maybe they won't fix his defense because he's, I think, the worst individual positional defender in Major League Baseball.
Been getting better defensively, though.
Among regulars. He's certainly made some plays, and it's been the routine stuff that has jumped up and bit him. But when I think of Cubs and Rays trading, I always think of the Matt Garza deal. Now, that was because there's so many players involved by the time all was said and done. The Cubs sent a massive package that I believe involved there was the Korean shortstop and Robinson Chirinos, and they end up getting Matt Garza, who was not well liked. We've learned that one of the reasons they traded him was they didn't really want him around.
Here's the trade. Okay. The Rays sent Matt Garza along with Fernando Perez, left-hander Zach Roscoe, to the Cubs.
Zach Roscoe, yeah.
For Hak Ju Lee, Brandon Guyer, not Brandon Fryer, Robinson Chirinos. That's an all-timer.
Who wins the sausage race?
That's an all-timer. Mark that down. Robinson Chirinos, Sam Fold, and Chris Archer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the Cubs traded Matt Garza to the Rangers for Mike Olt, C.J. Edwards, Justin Grimm, and a PTBNL who turned out to be Neil Ramirez.
Okay,
well,
you ended up getting a player that was instrumental in you winning a World Series.
Flags fly forever.
Right?
Yep.
So,
do you want to say that? You want to die on that hill?
Sure.
Okay. I can see some depreciation over time there, and maybe you salvage it with somebody who was a high leverage performer in the season you won a World Series.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how all of this stuff plays out. And it was definitely rough for anyone who is a fan of Christopher Morel to see him getting the news and him reacting to it and him not knowing how to handle it as it's going on in the moment. And I was sitting there trying to walk through the next phases of it. Cause we saw with Randy Arozarena, when he got traded, he watched the game from the stands and then he high-fived Rays fans on his way out. On the road, it's a little bit different. And I'm like, wait, I imagine that the Cubs have already checked out of their hotel.
Right.
Not that he couldn't just find another one, but what do you do? Like, if you're Christopher Morel, you can't be in the clubhouse. You got to get your stuff and you got to go. Like, are you just kind of, you're a man without a country?
Yes, but that's where traveling secretaries know the protocol, and
we set you up at the Ritz, Kansas City, or whatever.
I don't think he's going to be sleeping on the street or busking for food money.
Just walking out there, Cubs there. Uniform.
Robinson Chirinos.
See?
Hey!
I'm not alone.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, it sounds
I ran into the tamale guy over the weekend.
Really?
On Friday night, late night. Hell yeah. That made
Where at? Night.
I was on Danny Parkin started playing for my computer for some reason. That was funny.
He's everywhere. He's everywhere, got a book. Man. He's on Fox. He's everywhere.
That's right. Where was I? I was in Logan Square, somewhere around Logan Square, bar hopping it up. And then there he was, the tamale guy.
So what do you get? Which tamales do you like?
I got the poblano pepper and cheese.
Okay.
Delicious. Delicious.
I always just say, hand me whatever you got, man.
I usually ask.
Here's cash. Yeah, give me
what's
tamales.
Hot. But there's a pork with like a green mole or
with chorizos,
whatever the pork is.
Robinson chorizo.
The spicy salsa verde is outstanding. But it's all about the masa. It's all about the quality of that masa.
Well, it's all about the moment. It doesn't really matter like what he gives you. It's all about the moments. Oh, I found tamale guy, and it's always right when you start feeling hungry. Like you know, you've been drinking. You know what, man? I'm hungry.
That's exactly how it happened too. It's like I wished upon a tamale guy, and he came through.
Was like what Joe Madden always said: when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
And it happened just like that. I was talking with somebody about how I could go for something to eat and maybe I could find some pizza somewhere. And then he walked up.
And he walks in with an igloo cooler.
Yep.
And you're like, oh.
You're like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did I hear hungry?
Check out Tamale Guy.
Tamales.
I hope other cities have the equivalent of that. I don't know if they do. I really don't. I don't know if there's San Diego's got like a fish taco dude who walks around. I don't know.
That's Sutcliffe.
Maddie! Hey! Who wants some ahi tuna tacos? Hey, man! Telling you, the Cubbies are good. You want a taco?
Hey. Cubs won a series in dramatic fashion this weekend.
Yeah, they did.
Against a good team.
Nobody beats the Wiz.
And I will say that we were talking about this last week. Perhaps there have been other times where Craig Counsell should have used Patrick Wisdom.
And if we're going to sort of revisit other Cubs thoughts, I love the fact that the most Lawrence Holmes response in the group chat to the Morel trade, a pretty big deal. You're getting a guy who made an all-star team who's only 25.
Good player.
And under
control until he's 27.
Control through 2028. Mm-hmm. And Lawrence like, well, I guess this is the end for Madrigal finally. Like probably like other than Nick Madrigal himself, the only person thinking about the ultimate propagative effects on Nick Madrigal would be you.
Yeah.
Talking about living rent free.
I don't think I'm wrong.
I am saying you're wrong, but it's like, well, yes, I guess that's also true. It wasn't the first thing I thought. Oh, they're done with this Madrigal crap.
I mean, isn't that one of the things that's held them back though? Giving it bats and playing time not good.
No, I know. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just kind of admire your ability to stay on message.
I'm sticking with the bit.
You're staying on message with that. No, the bit was that he's a five-tool player.
He is.
Okay.
You haven't seen him?
No, they're just not the usual five tools.
He's got a hammer.
Right. We think the five tools are
wrench,
hit, run, throw, hit for power, and field.
Right, he's got none of those.
No.
He can put the bat on the ball.
Yes, contact.
But often that contact is weak.
Right. That's not one of the five tools.
Which is a problem.
So he may have five tools. They're just not
RBI machine.
No.
This I don't think the move signifies a direction for the Cubs at all right now. It was in no way representative of a current declaration of anything. It's just a really interesting move.
It's probably like the choice that you're making at third base is probably the right one. They haven't been able to solidify that spot. Are we going all the way? When's the last regular third baseman that you trusted?
Aramis?
Bryant would probably be the answer to that question.
Some people never trusted Bryant. I'm just saying. Bryant always.
I mean, if you don't want to trust an MVP, that's on you.
He had his detractors. A lot of people are like, I don't know. He strikes out too much. This guy always trying to pull the ball.
But then after that, after you decided to move on from Bryant, it was like, well, maybe Ian Happ plays third or here's David Bodie. And then you're like, well, we'll just float the position for a while. That's what they've done for the last 3 years for sure. They floated the position. Now you have someone who is at the position every single day. So I think that's good. I don't think that the move signifies anything other than we tried this experiment with Christopher Morel. From our standpoint, it's over. I wish Christopher Morel a lot of luck. He seems like a wonderful young man, and I think he's got a ton of talent. I hope that it flourishes in Tampa Bay.
I think there's a subplot, too, and that is that for the first time in a long time, the Cubs pitching development side, which had been the petrified forest for too long, created value in guys. That's found money in Hunter Biggie and Flermanson, who you just moved along here as assets. But finding value, creating value, and saying, look, this guy, he may not find the play, but he throws a hundo. You want to take a shot at him? Nice, smart guy, throws a hundred? Yeah. And you created that, which is something that that side of the organization had not done for years.
You think Biggie went into Jed's office and was like, give me one more chance?
He kicked in the door.
That's better, Ray. Damn it. You think he got the text at 5:46 in the morning? Crack of dawn.
Wiping the cold out of his eyes.
Yeah.
I think see who's this texting me and why.
I'm gonna give Ray the hip hop reference.
Yeah, he won that one.
Just this one.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it was pretty good.
I think that was pretty good. I think that's a 10-9 round. I'm gonna score that.
Yep.
I will say this too quickly because we will never be acknowledged again because Biggie is gone now. You know?
He is. R.I.P.
R.I.P. That when his debut post game, after he made his debut, Cole Wright made the most Notorious B.I.G. references within 60 seconds that I think anybody could ever make.
I mean, we gave him a run right there. We made seven.
We did. But to fit it in between highlights and stuff, I was like, all right, props, man.
That's when I like Cole the best, when he does that. It's like boom, 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 boom. He had a bunch of references after yesterday's game.
Yes, I can't remember what they were. I texted them to you guys.
Boom, boom, boom.
But yeah, that happened.
When we come back, Mark Grody will bring us something approximating a Bears report, depending
this
on...
This one better be more serious.
Depending on what his other responsibilities are.
Because apparently Saturday's practice, not great for the offense. A little sloppy. Some cadence issues, guys jumping off sides.
Caleb having to jump in and get into DeMarcus Walker's face.
Yeah. And those guys getting in the offensive faces and yelling, move! And then there's a false start. So we'll talk with there's panic in Lake Forest. There really isn't. Back after this on The Score.
Robinson Chorizo.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bears.
Mark Grody, covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I ain't talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Mark Grody with Bernstein and Holmes.
Whatever, the Bears suck.
On The Score.
We always hate to interrupt Mark Grody while he's making the rounds, waving at people, putting favors in the old political favor bank. You know how it is when...
You're the mayor of Lake Forest.
Yeah, when you're that popular, when you're kind of a big deal. But Mark Grody is ready to tell us everything that's going on with the Bears. You can tune in tomorrow from 5:30 to 10 a.m. Mully and Haw doing their show live from Bears training camp at Hallis Hall. Training camp coverage presented by Chevy. DriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado. the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Mark Grody's on Twitter at Grody Sports. Hello, sir.
Hi, guys. Not nearly the same energy today as from when last we spoke, because today the Bears are indoors. They are inside the Walter Payton Center. I am outside of the Walter Payton Center because it would be far too noisy indoors. As much as we like the ambiance and the music blasting in the background, this would have been an untenable situation. Funny, though, because right now it is not raining. It is very humid. There's a gentleman cutting the grass in front of me right now. Also, I'm just looking over on the far field. Special teams is out there doing their work. So I don't think it's inconceivable. I've seen them. They did it last year once where they were started indoors for a practice and then they moved it back outside. So I don't think that that's totally inconceivable. And
you keep using that word. I don't know if it means what you're thinking.
Inconceivable. Helmets and shorts today after back-to-back days of full pads. So it just, like, that full padded energy is just, it's something, especially after having, you know, the first 5 or 6 days without it, and now we're back to just helmets and that's about it. So that's the story right here. Oh, big day today, though, too, for post-practice. Kayla Williams will be speaking today, as will Shane Waldron.
What happened on Saturday?
Whew. Yeah, it was a bad day for the offense. What happened was the, again, Andrew Billings yelling move, creating and stimulating false starts by the offense. Matt Eberflus said, yeah, that it was the defense that was most responsible for the offense and all the penalties that they had had. Interestingly enough, the day before, you could ask the same question, what happened? Well, the day before, the cadence was off for Caleb Williams per Matt Eberflus. So we start to get some answers. You know, we only talk to Matt Eberflus every other day, so sometimes we have to collect questions for, you know, the day before as well. And it was just a bad 2 days in terms of pre-snap penalties for the Bears. So that's going to be – that'll be the big thing today. And, look, Shane Waldron, we'll try to get some answers from him on that and how it can be made better, and hopefully we'll see something better today because it was bad.
Well, help me translate this then. It was the defense – caused that, and not to be glib, but I don't care. Like the offense, you can't just come out of an actual game and say, why were you struggling with your timing offense? Well, the defense caused it. Doesn't matter. You're the offense. Every defense is going to try to upset your timing. Every defense is going to try to make things difficult for you. So even though you're trying to give credit, obviously, to the Bears defense, because it's the Bears against the Bears, I still kind of don't want to hear that.
Yeah, I understand it, especially after Matt Eberflus kind of offered to us at one point or early in this camp about how good everything looked pre-snap. And then all of a sudden, there's two horrendous days with it. So it's an alarming thing. And like there was such an obnoxious amount of holding. There's a couple of, apparently, you know, nothing is official out here, but, you know, a couple delay of game penalties to go along with all of the holding. So, and especially too, with this being for the most part, it's a veteran offensive line, you know? I mean, I understand that they're going to make some mistakes and that's okay, but this group has definitely got to get it together. I will say, I don't know if this had anything to do with what was going on Saturday, but for whatever it's worth, I mean, you did have Coleman Shelton playing center and Ryan Bates was the right guard. So they switched it up a little bit with Nate Davis just taking in practice. He's got some sort of day-to-day injury at this point. So he was in full pads watching, but they were doing things that they don't do always. We've seen Ryan Bates play some right guard throughout the offseason program, but not a ton. He's mostly just been rotating at the center spot. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it on Saturday, but it's got to get cleaned up.
Do you expect that Caleb will play Thursday?
No. I'm not expecting him to play. We're going to find out tomorrow. Yeah, I haven't heard anything specifically, but the indications are that he probably won't. I mean, the one little tiny piece that makes me wonder is that they said they've had some long meetings about this. So if they're being genuine in that, it sounds like maybe there's been some good back and forth and they actually were considering it. But I, you know, with some of the issues that we've seen with the pre-snap stuff, unless it magically goes away in the next couple of days, I don't know that you want to put that out there at this point. I'd be for Caleb just getting out there and getting the feel and handing a couple balls off. Maybe, you know,
a
couple
dump offs. Are you being chased by the lawnmower, Mark?
I'm actually trying to get away from him, yes.
Okay. Kenny Marock is trying to run you over?
I am walking right now.
He's like, coming your way.
All right, we should be getting farther and farther away. Leave me alone, sir.
I'll get you, Grody.
Is it? I can't remember his name, and I feel bad that I can't. Is it the older guy with the pipe?
No, it's not the old pipe guy.
Oh, that's Joe Kraniak.
No, it's not the old pipe. Yeah.
Yeah, the shirtless old bald guy with the beard and the pipe. That's Jeff.
Well, he wears a shirt.
He didn't used to.
Yeah, well, they want you to wear a shirt now.
No, he used to mow the grass shirtless.
Can I tell you guys? Here's something hilarious. Now, in the distance, now about 10 yards away from me, I see a laughing Herb Howard with earbuds in right now. And he's pointing at me and laughing at me right now.
But that's just his normal setting. He's not listening. He's just pointing at you and laughing.
Say hi to those guys. Just say hey.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Herb.
How are you?
Running from this lawnmower, too.
Herb can't hear you. He's got his earbuds in. So, but that was hilarious. He's got you guys on, and he was listening to the whole thing. So he's just laughing at me right now, standing out here. Now, by the way, it is starting to sprinkle a little bit. Might be time to put the tarp on the field. We'll see. But a light rain has started to come down as the players. I can see through the window right now. The players are still going through their individual position warm-ups right now inside the Walter Payton Center. And Herb Howard rocking some red sweatshorts today heading into the Walter Payton Center.
I wonder if, to get back to the Caleb thing, I wonder if the choice on it has to do with them maybe not wanting to play the veteran offensive line in four games when the plan, because it's the extra game. Like maybe if the starting offensive line is out there, then I'm like, well, Caleb should play. But if they're not going to start Nate Davis and Tevin Jenkins and Braxton, like then maybe he shouldn't be out there.
Right, and I absolutely not. Right, if you're going to start Caleb, yeah, you absolutely have to have those guys out there. I mean, I love Doug Kramer, but I don't want to see a situation where he and you know, a couple of these other backups are out there working with Caleb Williams. That's not going to happen. you do not want that. So,
I'm just scared for you. I mean, it's like the plane in North by Northwest is coming down after you, and you're running out of the way.
Yeah, I know. So people are coming after me, man. I think the word gets out that there's a hit going on here on the score, and everybody comes after me out here.
Is Doug Kramer the new Harvey Unga? Is he just a guy whose name is going to be on the roster forever?
Yeah, I think it's either that or Simba Webster.
Okay. Simba Webster is a good pick for that.
Yeah, Simba. He's always just in camp. He's always here. He's always smiling. He's always willing to be part of it and collect
Lions.
Whatever check he can collect. That's right. That's right. we don't do Lions here in these reports. But, yeah, you know what? That's funny you say that, Dan, because they obviously do not trust Doug Kramer because of all years with the issues they had at center last year, and Doug Kramer could never get on the field. The center position for the Bears was bad last year, and he could not get a sniff. As a matter of fact, he was let go for a while and then made his way back to the Bears roster. So, yeah, he might be a Harvey Unga and a Simba Webster at this point. They just like having him around, and if another team wants him, that's cool. But, hey, man, if you're not doing anything, come hang out here with the Bears during training camp.
So, all right, now that we've had the sloppy practice, I imagine if they practice inside, maybe things will be cleaner. Or maybe are fans at this practice too?
No, no fans today. No fans, no pads.
Okay, so then there's an opportunity for this to be a lot cleaner.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that might be part of why they are okay with being indoors today and you know, not wanting, you know, they probably could deal with a sprinkle, but I think this is an important day for them to get back on track. And yeah, like if there are to be big deal days in camp, I think this is one of them, because although, you know, Matt Eberflus has kind of downplayed the pre-snap stuff, but that has to get cleaned up, and it has to eventually become relatively flawless.
Have they asked the defensive players to stop yelling yet?
No.
Or do they want Caleb and the offense to work through this?
Oh, yeah, I think that they do. Like, nobody has said anything like that. What they want is Montez Sweat to stop slapping the ball out of Caleb Williams' hand.
Yeah, he got sent to the sidelines, right?
Yeah, he did it, and Matt Eberflus pulled him out of the drill and gave him a good talking to, and saying, you know, something to the effect of, you know, you'd be really upset, you'd be really regretful if something were to happen to Caleb Williams. And the first time he did it, Caleb Williams got in his face a little bit. The one on Saturday did not create nearly the emotion, except from the head coach, Matt Eberflus. So I imagine we'll see a better behaved Montez Sweat.
It is something to keep in mind, though. I appreciate what Montez is trying to do, even though he shouldn't. Don't touch the merchandise.
Merchandise gonna get touched.
Because that
James Harrison, right?
Yes. Caleb's turnovers didn't come in interceptions. They came in fumbles. So I appreciate he's trying to point out, hey, man, these guys are going to get here, and that's what they're going to do. But you don't do that to the quarterback when they're wearing the different color jersey.
Right. It's like mad at you, not mad at you. That's the way I look at it with Montez Sweat. And I think probably fans, yeah, you got to protect the guy. But I appreciate the early aggression from Montez Sweat, you know, a veteran in his first full year here, and he's about as enthusiastic and as ready to go as anybody. But
maybe carry the ball a little higher, young man, because these guys are coming around the edge and trying to take it from you.
Yeah. Well, I think he's learning a lot early, man. Like, I think and we're going to talk to Caleb today, but one of the things, like, I feel like he's getting the welcome to the NFL moments here right now that happens with every rookie quarterback every year. And I believe that that's what the first two full padded days were for him. You know, he threw back-to-back interceptions in the 7-on-7 at one point. Their 11-on-11 began with back-to-back false starts. The defense is bringing everything they can. I can't count how many times I've seen 53 TJ Edwards blitzing and getting and breaking through. And, you know, I hope that that's something. I hope they dial up the linebacker more this year. It feels like something that the Bears have been effective at through the years, and they have definitely been breaking through on that offensive line and giving him absolutely everything he can handle. So I like that part of it. Like, the defense is not being, you know, generic. they are running plays, and they are being sturdy with the wide receivers. I think that's another interesting part, is to watch the Bears secondary. I mean, they too have been hearing all about how great the wide receivers are, and you could tell there's a little bit of that extra oomph, especially from Tyreek Stevenson out here going up against the rookie Roma Dunze at times. So it's interesting to watch, and I guess if you're a Bears fan, you just hope that the offense catches up a little bit more, because right now it's all defense.
All right, before we let you go, tell us the story of the lemonade.
Yeah, so it was during one of our first training camp practices, and what is different this year in the bleachers, which benefits both the media and the fans, the Bears put a canvas topping over the bleachers, so it blocks out the sun. It makes it much more easy to deal with. So it actually is. And then Flus talked about that. And then he also said, yeah, we might set up a little lemonade stand for you guys out there too. So Flus talked about this jokingly, you know, the new Flus stand that we've been talking about. And then today we walk in there and there's a big tub of Flus's lemonade inside of the interview room. Unfortunately, we won't get to thank the Flus today because he is not scheduled to speak, but he came through on his promise to make the lemonade. I have not tried it. I know Jason Leisure did, and he gave it a pretty good review.
Okay.
I'll probably get a little cup of it later.
Are you wearing your Bears-issued backpack?
Oh, you heard about those, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I, no, my Bears issued backpack is at home right now.
Good.
And I'm just trying to, I am trying to figure out who I'm going to give it to.
Give it to a kid.
I will give it to a kid. It might be one of my nieces or nephews.
I could work ahead on that one.
Oh, I know. You know one. You think Dario would be into that?
I think he would rock that thing at Northeastern University like a boss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Yes. No, it's a really nice bag.
Of course it is.
Yeah, yeah.
With your name on it and everything. Got your little name tag guy and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think mine said, and I don't mind this, but it said Odyssey's Mark Grody.
It's true.
That's
correct.
Yeah, they went with the formal. So no, it's a beautiful backpack, and you know, in another part of my life, I might have kept it and used it. But
and if you
this
did
will definitely
something else for a living.
Yes. If I did something else for a living. So I don't know. Actually, it's such a nice bag that it will be wrapped and under the Christmas tree this year for somebody.
Or maybe it'll be on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
I would recommend that.
A lot of people say I never did that. I never put anything on eBay. Everybody keeps saying that. You better KMA, Bernstein. And that goes for you, too. Lakers going down, 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 down.
All right, go dodge the lawnmower. See you, Mark.
Oh, here he comes. Hold on. Sir.
Bears.
Okay, Bears. Bye, guys.
I'll get you, Grody.
Mark Grody, he's our Bears beat reporter, Odyssey Bears beat reporter, Mark Grody. When we come back, we're just going to celebrate that football's back.
Yay.
On the score.
Yay.
We don't touch the merchandise ever.
Merchandise go get touched.
Bernstein and Holmes.
I hate being a fan of this team.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Are you guys ready to say publicly whether or not Caleb and your starters are going to go?
We're going to do it Tuesday.
It's football, mister.
We should hear from Flusy tomorrow on whether or not Caleb plays. It's an interesting choice. I think there is some sense to play him, but you're not just playing Caleb. You're also ideally playing the starting offensive line, and maybe you don't want to do that. Although you could say...
You don't have a starting offensive line right now because Nate Davis is out already.
Well... That's why I keep asking all of our Bears people if he's available. Because sometimes he's not.
Right.
So if that's the case, then the answer is probably no, right? That you don't want to play him?
You know me. I'm always going to err on the side of no for something like this. Because it doesn't really matter. This is a hurry up and wait situation. This is a classic mental hurry up and wait. Yeah, football. Yes, Bears football. Yes. Oh, it's not really Bears football.
Yeah, it's all part of the calendar and the way the calendar goes. Where like the Hall of Fame game starts and you're like, well, that's real football, right? No. Then Hard Knocks comes back and it's like, well, that's real football, right? Yes, but no.
No, that's different though. Hard Knocks exists in a different kind
of but it's all part
place.
Of the calendar of football is back.
But my heart says Bears, football's back. And I get to watch people dressed as the Chicago Bears running into people who aren't dressed as the Chicago Bears. And I want to watch that.
And for a little bit.
And then I'll lose interest.
Yeah,
and
I'm going to watch it for a little bit.
And then
bit.
I'm going to think, okay, well, this kind of sucks. And I'll probably get on with things. But I can't lie about the fact that it's been a long time since I've been this interested in meaningless football.
Right. And maybe the things that went poorly in practice on Saturday will be cleaned up today. I don't like where it's trending. I can tell you that much. But it's only two practices. So maybe today it'll be nice and clean, and they'll go, you know what, we're good. We don't need to dress any of the starters. We don't need to play Caleb. Maybe he's in uniform, but just to get used to this is how we do things on game day sort of stuff. It's a really fun venue. They've done a lot with it.
How many does it seat?
I can't remember, but they added, I want to say they added 15,000 seats to that place because it was like a glorified high school field. And it's, I don't know if they still do a lot of high school games there because I think it is whatever high, I should ask Shake because I think that's, she would play, her team would play, Youngstown would play Canton all the time. And so she would go there as a kid. But they used to have the three different lines. Like you'd have the high school splits, the college ones.
Oh, like one of the weird West Coast basketball courts with the volleyball lines on it.
Yeah, it's a. I always think it's fun. Like the power lines right by the stadium are goalposts.
Aw.
Yeah, Canton's a fun little place to go. And it was funny because I was actually texting Herb Howard because he's going to be at the game, and I said, make time for the museum. I know that you're there to cover the game, but it's important to make time. And if you're a Bears fan, that's you're going down for the induction.
I was
going to
say, the truth is, this is much more about Mongo and Hester and Julius Peppers than it is about this current Bears team.
Sure.
And that's fine.
Yeah, because it's an extra game, so it's an extra headache for the Bears themselves, like even logistically. There won't be many people from the Bears party that stay for Saturday, which is also a really fun event. But if you're going, please make time. And if you're going down there, I always like to tell people, especially from Chicago and especially Score fans, Doug Buffone is not a Hall of Fame football player, but his picture is prominently featured in the Hall of Fame. So go and try and find it and then get back to me when you see it.
Yeah, take a picture and text it.
Well, don't text it to me.
I mean, as you know what I mean, like tweet it.
Yeah, tweet it at me when you see it.
So I also had to do an intervention this weekend. You know, we're a couple weeks away from taking the boy off to college. And both his mother and I had to say, hey, you know, when you get to college, you have to stop just saying Bears all the time because people are going to think you're a total weirdo. Like, I know I'm doing it here. I won't do it at school. Like, seriously. Like, you got to promise us that you're not going to be out at a party or in the middle of class and saying, Bears.
A party is actually the perfect place for him to do that.
But he's doing, like, in random times, for no reason at all, he's just saying, Bears. Bears. And it's becoming like a tic, just like Grody does it. And I seriously, dude, you have to understand how often you're saying that. You can't say it like that around people who aren't us.
All he has to do is explain the bit, and then it'll be fine.
No,
to his friends. Just explain. Oh, this is a thing that we do. It's because it's funny, and then they'll be like, and if they're good friends, they'll be like, oh, okay, cool, go for it.
They'll start saying.
And he's not going to have any friends if he just walks around with Bears.
He'll have.
He's going to be the weird kid from Chicago. So you don't want that.
Feel like you're projecting some stuff that happened to you in North Carolina.
Because I did wear it for when the this is a true story. That when the Bears played the Giants, this was the Dennis McKinnon 84-yard punt return, the Monday Night Football to start the season in 86. Remember that game? And it was all Giants fans there. Oh, my God, was I a pain in the ass. I was a pain in the ass. And
you?
And this I did never live down. I had a notebook with me.
You're the worst. Capacity, by the way, at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium is 23,000.
Okay.
So you can,
it's about right.
Yeah, you have a good time there.
Perfect.
We need to take a break. When we come back, let's get into some big picture items. The Cubs made trades. Might they make some more before the deadline? We'll discuss next here on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes.
I hate being a fan of this team.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Are you guys ready to say publicly whether or not Caleb and your starters are going to go?
We're going to do it Tuesday.
It's football, mister.
We should hear from Flusi tomorrow on whether or not Caleb plays. It's an interesting choice. I think there is some sense to play him, but you're not just playing Caleb. You're also ideally playing the starting offensive line, and maybe you don't want to do that. Although you could say...
You don't have a starting offensive line right now because Nate Davis is out already.
Well... That's why I keep asking all of our Bears people if he's available. Because sometimes he's not.
Right.
So, So if that's the case, then the answer is probably no, right? That you don't want to play him?
You know me. I'm always going to err on the side of no for something like this because it doesn't really matter. This is a hurry up and wait situation. This is a classic mental hurry up and wait. Yeah, football. Yes, Bears football. Yes. Oh, it's not really Bears football.
Yeah, it's all part of the calendar and the way the calendar goes where, like, the Hall of Fame game starts and you're like, well, that's real football, right? No. Then Hard Knocks comes back and it's like, well, that's real football, right? Yes, but no.
No, that's different, though. Hard Knocks exists in a different kind
of but it's all part place. Of the calendar of football is back.
But my heart says Bears, football's back. And I get to watch people dressed as the Chicago Bears running into people who aren't dressed as the Chicago Bears. And I want to watch that.
For a little bit.
And then I'll lose interest.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it for a little bit.
And then I'm going to think, okay, well, this kind of sucks. And I'll probably get on with things. But I can't lie about the fact that it's been a long time since I've been this interested in meaningless football.
Right. And maybe the things that went poorly in practice on Saturday will be cleaned up today. I don't like where it's trending. I can tell you that much, but it's only two practices. So maybe today it'll be nice and clean, and they'll go, you know what, we're good. We don't need to dress any of the starters. We don't need to play Caleb. Maybe he's in uniform, but just to get used to this is how we do things on game day sort of stuff. It's a really fun venue. They've done a lot with it.
How many does it seat?
I can't remember, but they added 15,000 seats to that place because it was like a glorified high school field. And it's, I don't know if they still do a lot of high school games there because I think it is whatever high school. I should ask Shake because I think that's she would play, her team would play, Youngstown would play Canton all the time. And so she would go there as a kid. But they used to have the three different lines. Like, you'd have the high school splits, the college ones.
Oh, like one of the weird West Coast basketball courts with the volleyball lines on it?
Yeah. I always think it's fun. Like, the power lines right by the stadium are goalposts.
Aw.
Yeah, Canton's a fun little place to go. And it was funny because I was actually texting Herb Howard because he's going to be at the game. And I said, make time for the museum. I know that you're there to cover the game, but it's important to make time. And if you're a Bears fan, that's you're going down for the induction.
I was going to say, the truth is, this is much more about Mongo and Hester and Julius Peppers than it is about this current Bears team.
Sure.
And that's fine.
Yeah, because it's an extra game, so it's an extra headache for the Bears themselves, like even logistically. There won't be many people from the Bears party that stay for Saturday, which is also a really fun event. But if you're going, please make time. And if you're going down there, I always like to tell people, especially from Chicago and especially Score fans, Doug Buffone is not a Hall of Fame football player, but his picture is prominently featured in the Hall of Fame. So go and try and find it and then get back to me when you see it.
Yeah, take a picture and text it.
Well, don't text it to me.
I mean, tweet it.
Yeah, tweet it at me when you see it.
So I also we had to do an intervention this weekend. You know, we're a couple weeks away from taking the boy off to college. And both his mother and I had to say, hey, you know, when you get to college, you have to stop just saying Bears all the time because people are going to think you're a total weirdo. Like, I know I'm doing it here. I won't do it at school. Like, seriously. Like, you got to promise us that you're not going to be out at a party or in the middle of class and saying, Bears.
A party is actually the perfect place for him to do that.
But he's doing, like, in random times, for no reason at all, he's just saying, Bears. Bears. And it's becoming like a tick, just like Grody does it. And I seriously, dude, you have to understand how often you're saying that. You can't say it like that around people who aren't us.
All he has to do is explain the bit, and then it'll be fine.
No, you to
to do who is to his friends. Just explain, oh, this is a thing that we do. It's because it's funny. And then they'll be like, and if they're good friends, they'll be like, oh, okay, cool, go for it.
They'll start saying.
And he's not going to have any friends if he just walks around going, Bears.
He'll have.
Like, he's going to be the weird kid from Chicago. So you don't want that.
Feel like you're projecting some stuff that happened to you in North Carolina.
Because I did wear it for when the this is a true story. That when the Bears played the Giants, this was the Dennis McKinnon 84-yard punt return, the Monday Night Football to start the season in 86. Remember that game? And it was all Giants fans there. Oh my God, was I a pain in the ass. I was a pain in the ass. And
you?
And this I did never live down. I had a notebook with me.
You're the worst. Capacity, by the way, at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium is 23,000.
Okay.
So you can,
it's about right.
Yeah, you have a good time there.
Perfect.
We need to take a break. When we come back, let's get into some big picture items. The Cubs made trades. Might they make some more before the deadline? We'll discuss next here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.